Live from the Journeys Group Studio, this is Taking Care of Business.
Good afternoon. Oh, I'm sorry. Good day. This is Tommy Pate.
And this is George Pate.
Taking Care of Business. Today is the first full week of September.
Yep.
Coming off Labor Day. Coming off football, first weekend of football.
Yep.
Let me think. Anything dumb happened in D.C.? Dumb happened in D.C. What? I did see, by the way, where Pelosi has announced.
What the heck is that about?
She's trying to get up, make sure she's still in charge of something. She wants to be the ambassador of Italy if she loses a majority in the House. Maybe Italy has easier drunk driving laws for her husband.
Yeah, I just, did you see where he avoided? He's avoiding.
Of course he did.
I mean, I don't know why I was surprised by. Yeah, I saw that first thing this morning and, or earlier this week and whatever. Yeah, and I thought, that's oddly specific.
Well, she'll only be ambassador for like 2 years because doesn't the new president name new ambassadors, that kind of thing? Wouldn't if a Republican came in, wouldn't he fire her in Italy?
Theoretically. I mean, my God, she. How old is she? What is she, 78 or something?
No,
like that?
She's like 82.
Okay. Never mind. I'm not going to go there.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, so in 2 years, if there is a power shift, the slate would be cleaned. And
well, actually, the power shift will be in two months.
I mean, the presidential power shift. Yeah. I mean, yeah, she'd be ambassador for, well, what does she care? As long as she's in power, it doesn't really matter to her,
she's
I guess.
She's got more money than God anyway, so.
Yeah.
Or are you talking, you know what? Let's just skip the politics. I do want to mention that my boys eked out a win over East Carolina barely Saturday.
Yep.
And they
that was an ugly game.
Ugly does not describe it. It was bad.
Ugly game, and I want to put this out on the record, some questionable officiating at times.
No.
Quite possibly one of the worst officiated games I have ever seen in my life. That was pretty bad.
I don't understand. I will say this, and we'll move on.
Yeah, I wanted to mention this.
We scored twice from the goal line. They called it Bath both times because the officials
didn't like the result, I guess.
Didn't like, I don't know. Well, they blew the whistle before the play started. But
the one play that kills me, and again, right, this is the only thing we'll say about this. The one play that kills me was the first time they got it. They got into the end zone. After they got into the end zone,
when they blew it dead,
they blew the whistle, called the play back. No penalty, no timeout, didn't reset the clock. And I still, for the life of me, can't figure that out. As I said, some questionable officiating, but a win is a win. Anyway.
But it's interesting, though. Doran did not get fired up over that.
Yeah, he was unusually calm.
So there must have been something he knew on the field.
He was unusually calm on the slide. But then he said in the post-game conference, I still don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Maybe he was just confused as we were. But
We're taking, as you know, our corporate offices are in Aiden, which is right outside of Greenville. So we're taking an enormous amount of flack from the Pirates. We were told just earlier today that we'll be lucky to win half our games and that we're so overrated it's not even funny. I'm going to stop.
Yeah, but let's.
My name is Tommy Page.
That was very impressive self-control.
Thank you. Yes, I pinched myself. I'm a certified financial planner with the Journeys Group.
And I'm George Pate. I'm a financial advisor with the Journeys Group.
We are an independent registered investment advisory firm located in Aiden, just out of Greenville, North Carolina. Our phone number is 252-746-6785. Again, that's 252-746-6785. You can find us on the web at www.thejourneysgroup.com. www.thejourneysgroup.com. Our website has a variety of financial articles that rotate through. It has links to YouTube and Instagram and Facebook. Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Has upcoming events, which this week you may or may have already seen it. You probably have, but Tuesday night of this week we did the mid-course
halftime report.
Yeah. It also has has our contact information, how to get on our calendars, and it does have the podcast Taking Care of Business there. So if you want to see a podcast, miss a show, that's the place to go get it. We covered everything.
I believe so.
We have vicious marketing people if we don't. So I guess, right?
Yeah, I think so.
What are we talking about today?
We are talking about...
I'm glad you brought that up. Inflation and recession and interest rates. Oh, my.
We had a couple of questions, I believe it was last week, from a couple of different clients about how exactly do interest rates affect... How does raising interest rates fix inflation. And because in all aspects of our lives, rising interest rates are a bad thing. So how does the federal government combat inflation, and how do you, I guess this is going to kind of be a two-part series where we're going to talk about today, I think, big picture of inflation, recession, how it gets handled. And then next week we're going to talk about personally, how can you combat inflation and prepare for inflation and recession? So some personal things you can do.
All right. The question we had last week was, as George said, somebody said, I don't understand why raising interest rates has anything to do with inflation. All right, first of all, unless you are borrowing money, there's nothing wrong with high interest rates. High interest rates, in theory, would push the bank to pay higher CDs and savings account. It's kind of a win-win. All right. Interest rates and inflation tend to move in the same direction because interest rates are the primary tool used by the Federal Reserve, which is the U.S. central bank, to manage inflation. The Federal Reserve Act directs the Feds to promote maximum employment and stable prices. I did not know that. I thought it was only concerned with prices, but they're also concerned about employment.
I did not know that either.
Mm-hmm. Since 2012, they have tried to have a annual inflation rate of 2%. If there's a positive rate of inflation, which is defined as an overall price increase
in prices, yep.
Then they're going to raise interest rates. And this is where it gets a little bit murky. And I'm going to explain it in English, and then I'm going to explain it in technical terminology. All right. Inflation, runaway inflation, means your economy is growing too fast. Now, that sounds like an oxymoron. How can the economy grow too fast? Well, you saw it last year when your goods are unachievable, you can't get them, when you have to order something and you wait 7 months to get it, and the prices are skyrocketing. Now, if you are trying to buy something, and let's say you're trying to buy Tiddlywinks, and there are 5 Tiddlywinks for sale.
They even sell Tiddlywinks anymore?
I don't know.
Yeah.
If they did, it would be this way, though.
Yes.
And there are 5 Tiddlywinks for sale, but 9 people want the Tiddlywinks, then they're going to raise the prices. And 4 of the 9 are going to walk away upset because they didn't get a Tiddlywink. Raising the prices is what we call inflation.
Mm-hmm. It's just it's the consequence of supply and demand. There is more demand than there is supply of a good. And so naturally, prices go up because that good is worth more because there's less of it and more people want it. And so prices go up. That continues to happen. That's how inflation happens. And that's right. What we saw last year.
So how the Feds combat this, once it gets to a certain level where it's just running away like it is now, they will raise interest rates. Now, how does raising interest rates help? All right, interest rates slows the economy down. If you've had a 1 or 2% increase in interest rates, as we have had, then all of a sudden, the company that makes those Tiddlywinks can't make it. First of all, has to slow down because it's costing more money to run the Tiddlywink factory. Second of all, the people buying the Tiddlywinks don't have as much excess cash to purchase the Tiddlywink. So what happens is you have 5 Tiddlywinks for sale, and now only 3 people want to buy them because the other 6 that were going to buy them can't afford them. Yeah, because the interest rates are too high to go borrow money to buy the Tiddlywink. So there's 3 people that want to buy 5 Tiddlywinks. The Tiddlywink manufacturer is going to drop their prices. Now, this is simplistic, but the concept is here.
Yeah, it's pretty close. Yeah.
So the Tiddlywink manufacturer is going to drop his or her prices to accommodate those 3 that want to buy Tiddlywinks plus somebody else as well. And so that's how a higher interest rate drives down inflation. It drives down prices. Now, where the problem is right now is our current group of geniuses in Washington, D.C.
It's an oxymoronic statement.
Waited about a year too long. Yep. They should have started raising interest rates May of last year, not May of this year. But because His Highness Biden hadn't been in office that long, they had to make him look good, and raise interest rates is a bad looking thing. So when you raise the interest rate, you're literally trying to slow down the growth of the economy.
Yeah, it's the idea behind raising interest rate, and the whole job of the Fed is to gently press on the brake of the economy. If you can imagine the economy as a car, right now the car is running at, or you know, for the last really 10 years, the car has been running at 150 miles an hour without slowing down. So what happened was the engine was starting to overheat. The Fed's job now is to gently press on the brake to not throw the car into a full stop, but to slow it down enough to cool it off. That's whenever we have inflation or a recession, what they're trying to do is go for a soft landing by raising interest rates very gently, and they're trying to make it so that we don't, they're trying to make it so we don't go into a recession. Now, in this case, again, because they've waited a year too long, pressing the brake gently is no longer an option. Had they started this process May of last year, we could have had a couple of interest rate rises, you know, 0.5% here and there, and probably have been okay, and we could have pressed gently on the brake. Well, now, unfortunately, because they've waited too long, and inflation is now out of control at 8.5%, they've got to slam on the brakes. And so that's what we're seeing when we're seeing three quarters of a point raises multiple times this year, and probably more to come. That's them desperately trying to get it under control. I like to use a snowball rolling down a hill as an analogy for inflation. It's easy to stop at the beginning, but if you let it get some momentum, it takes some time to stop it.
All right, let's dig into the interest rate a little bit. The federal fund rate is what the Federal Reserve Board sets. So the federal fund rate is the interest rate that one commercial bank can borrow from another commercial bank for overnight. Now, you say overnight, what good is that? By law, the banks have to have reserves set to one side that is equivalent to, hold on before I make sure I get this right, to a certain percentage of their deposits.
So they have to have a certain amount of liquid cash on hand. Mm-hmm.
So let's suppose Bank A has to keep $100 million on hand, and Bank B has to keep $80 million on hand.
And it's based on how much they have within
their
the bank.
Deposits are. Yep. Yeah. And today, Bank A, and they have to maintain, let's say, 10%. Bank A has $12 million in excess funds, and Bank B has six. So Bank B will borrow $2 million from Bank A to meet that federal requirement. And that interest rate, the Federal Reserve rate, is what – federal funds rate, rather, excuse me, is what the banks charge each other.
All right. Ignorant question now. So I can borrow that overnight, but tomorrow I have the same problem again because I don't – are they hoping that theoretically they get enough deposits to bring them up to –
Well,
number.
I don't know this for a fact, but I would imagine that loan rolls over day to day to day. I don't think it ends that day.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that, but I'm thinking.
Okay.
That.
Well, when it said overnight, I thought, okay, 24 for overnight, what good is that? But you're probably right. It's probably not quite as simple as that.
Now, let's think about this. To avoid paying interest rate to another bank, the banks are going to try very, very hard to keep that reserve in cash. That cash reserve is no longer in the economy.
Yep, they are no longer loaning out that money because it's costing the bank more to borrow that money to maintain that cash than it is earning them to loan it out. And so again, because there's less cash in circulation, less spending is happening.
So if there's less money, as George said, less money to use, less growth of the economy, actually no growth of the economy. All right. Now, typically right now, the federal funds target range are 2.25% to 2.5%. Now, those of you that didn't know that, you're probably thinking the prime is like 18%. No, it's about 2.25%. The difference, what we're feeling, though, is that prior to all this debacle, it was 0.25.
Yeah, it was close
to
zero.
So it's gone up like 1,000%, basically. So that's the complicated. That's literally what's going on now. In times past, in the 60s, in the 70s, when the Federal Reserve rate went up, banks would pay higher savings account. It was kind of passed down to a limited extent to the consumer. That doesn't happen anymore. But essentially what the federal government does by raising interest rates is they cut the availability of money for people. And I'm not talking about a dollar and a half Pepsi. I'm talking about if you're buying a $100,000 car.
Big ticket items.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's what's happening. Now, here's what you got to realize, us normal folks. If you're not borrowing any aggressive amounts of money, are prices higher? Yes. Do you feel it? Yes. Is it going to impact you? Probably not. I would dare say that if gasoline had not gone up as dramatically as it had, that the vast majority of Americans, because we are not the brightest bunch in the world, the vast majority of Americans would have no idea that we're in inflation. Everybody judges it by their now, I know you're going, oh, I would, because bread's up to $5. Yeah, but you wouldn't think twice about that bread being $5 a pound.
If gas wasn't
$4.
But you think about it. All anybody has been talking about this whole time is gas prices. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the, I guess, the benchmark for inflation is gas prices are up.
So we have unemployment right now is about 3.5%, which is really good. And so the Federal Reserve Board is really juggling, because they're going, okay, we raise interest rates too much, that'll make unemployment go up. If we don't raise it enough, that'll make inflation. I mean, it's a hard act.
It's a balancing act. Yeah. You can imagine the economy like a scale or more like a pendulum, where they're trying to maintain a certain balance, but never one too much one side or the other.
So that's how it all ties in together, is the government says we're going to raise interest rates. That will have less money in the economy, and that'll slow the economy down. Now, it generally takes 2 or 3 years for this to work, which is why they should have started last year. We go to Gaston Lake a good bit, boating, fishing, that kind of thing. And we would go out on Gaston Lake, which is about an hour and 45 minutes. And we go out on the lake, let's say back in May. Boats everywhere. And you can tell people had bought boats in a big way because of low interest rates. Now, we just bought a boat. We actually ordered a boat back in
October.
And we didn't get it until April, because that's how far behind they were. Now, if you go out on the lake, you see very few boats, because people can't afford to pay the gas.
Yeah, it's not that they can't afford to pay for the boat. It's filling it up. We were up there a couple, 3 weeks ago and stopped to get gas. And there, I think there's not very many gas stations on Gaston Lake. On any bottled water. But we pulled up to the gas station and had to wait in line for gas. And they were charging, $6.65 a gallon. And there was a line of boats waiting. And so what you're seeing there, you're thinking, man, that is insane that person's charging $6.65 for gas. That's what happens. But, you know, prices go up and it has to get passed down to the consumer. You know, in order for businesses to combat the rising cost of materials and production costs and everything, it's got to get passed down to you. It doesn't have to, but it's going to get passed down to the consumer. That's what you're seeing with the gas. And again, he can do that, because where are people going to go to fill up their gas tank? But even though there was a line of boats, there were still far fewer than there were 3 or 4 months ago, because again, people can afford to have a boat, but they can't afford to fill it up with gas, so they're just not using it.
Yeah. We think you're going to see a lot of, and maybe totally wrong, it's just our personal opinion, but excuse me, but we think that first quarter of next year, last quarter of this year, you may get a chance to get a deal on big ticket items like boats, cars, campers, things like that, because a lot of people are going to have bought them back when the interest rates were so low, and now they can't enjoy it.
We're already starting to see the effects of interest rates going up very slowly. Again, this process takes a couple of years to really get some momentum, but we're already starting to see some shakings, specifically in the housing market. You know, whereas even again 3 or 4 months ago, a house at the lake, they'd be asking $800,000 for it, and they would easily get at least $1 million easily. Now you're seeing that same house asking for $800,000. Might go for $850. So
not even that. They're actually below now. It's for $750.
Yeah. Okay. So now it's below asking price. So now you're starting to see some rumblings, but you're starting to see some effects of those higher interest rates happen, where money isn't free to borrow anymore, and so people can't be quite as, I hate to use the word frivolous, but that's, I think that's a good word. People can't be quite as frivolous and go borrow $800,000 and it costs them next to nothing. And so people are having to be much more selective about the things that they're buying, which again, people are being more selective, which means less things are being bought. And when I'm talking about things, I mean houses, trucks, boats, cars, stuff, big ticket items. So people are having to be more selective because it's more expensive to borrow the money, which means that less things are being bought. All right. Which means the supply is going to go up. If you drive around it and and look at car lots nowadays, there's a lot more cars on the lots than there were, again, just 3 or 4 months ago, because now everybody's not scrambling to buy new toys because a lot of people can't afford it now with the interest rates. So we're slowly starting to see the effect. Again, this is a process, but that's the whole point behind raising the interest rate, is to not completely stop everybody from buying things, but to slow it down dramatically. It kind of lets the economy take a sigh, kind of breathe in and not be so red screaming hot all the time.
Did you know that we're not in a recession? All right.
Okay.
World renowned economist Stephen Roach says it would take a miracle to keep us out of a recession. I think we're already in a recession, but
I think we've been in a recession. Yeah. The definition of a recession, and again, I could be totally wrong about this, is two consecutive quarters of back-to-back GDP loss.
Yeah.
And we're there. So I don't know where these people are getting these definitions from. But anyway, continue.
Roach is saying that as the impact of the money tightening kicks in, it's going to throw us into a major recession. And he said they hadn't kicked in yet. Now, I tend to agree with that because remember, interest rates have only gone up the last 90 days.
Yeah, dramatically. I guess that's true.
He is suggesting that the Federal Reserve Board has no choice but to do what Paul Volcker did in the 80s when inflation was going nuts. And that's when he hiked interest rates. That's when I told you, George, I was in college and interest rates were 18%.
When Carter was president.
Yeah. He had to take the unemployment rate above 10%.
Just to slow the economy down? Running.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And economist Roach is saying that Powell may have to do the same thing. We may have to get a much, much higher interest rate. I don't think we're looking at 18%.
No.
But I don't think I would be surprised if we were looking at 8 to 9%.
Yeah, we're at right now, inflation itself is at, you're talking about the Fed rate. Yeah. It's interesting. I've got a graphic for this. Their target interest rate that they're going for, I've got it somewhere. Yeah, their target interest rate that they're hoping to peak at in January 2023 is 3.4%. And right now, I believe the last time I checked, the Fed rate is about 2.25%.
Yep.
And so, but they're hoping, or they're expecting to peak at 3.4% in January, which would mean roughly a couple more hikes. We're expecting at least one this month and probably one more November towards the end of the year. But right now, the Fed is shooting for a peak of 3.4%. I don't know. I go back and forth. I can't tell if I think they're being a little bit too optimistic or not, but we'll just have to, it's just hard to predict that sort of thing.
And we're actually next week's show, we're actually going to talk about how you address inflation and recession in your,
personal
personal stuff. Yep. So Rob, I want you to remember this too, folks, is that first of all, inflation, recession, all part of a normal economy. We are not on the verge of collapse. We're not on the verge of having to go back to the barter system. Don't go start burying gold doubloons in your yard. this is not time to panic. It's just not that big a deal. It's annoying.
Yeah, it's not pleasant, but.
Yeah, but it's not, oh my God, it's all over with at any stretch of the imagination.
I would really encourage y'all, go watch our State of the Market, our Halftime Report webinar is posted on YouTube. I'd really encourage y'all to go check it out. A lot of really, really great information, and it gives a really great perspective on big picture inflation, recession, all that sort of thing. That, yes, it's not good where we are right now, but it's not nearly as bad as it has been in the past. So don't panic. So I'd really encourage y'all to check that out if you weren't able to make it this past week.
If you have questions, concerns, want to challenge us, by all means, give us a call at 252-746-6785, 252-746-6785. And we'll go from there and see what you got to say to us, you know. But again, folks, inflation, recession, all part of a normal cycle. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, one of the things that I was kind of laughing when I was doing some research last week for, again, for the webinar, looking at a graph of how inflation has progressed over the last 50 years. And I have to laugh that, you know, during the 80s, inflation was close to 20%. Right now, it's at 8.5%. Now, obviously, 8.5% is far above their target of 2, but 8.5% isn't nearly as bad as 20. So again, it's all about your perspective. And again, remember, as long as you have a good, solid financial plan, you'll be good to go.
Yep. All right, hear the music in my ears. Got to get out of here. We appreciate you sharing part of your day with us today. Hope you have a great rest of the week. Look forward to visiting with you next week. This is Tommy Pate.
And this is George Pate.
Taking care of business.
The proceeding has been a paid program. The advice and opinions expressed by the Journeys Group and their guests are their own and may not reflect the opinions and advice of WTIB or Interbanks Media. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although should not be relied as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Investments involve risk and unless otherwise stated are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. Fixed annuities are insurance products. Fixed annuities, rates, returns, and guarantees are subject to the claim paying ability to the underlying insurance company. Please see a statement of understanding and prospectus for a full detail on products discussed. Strategies mentioned may not be suitable for everyone. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation and as such is not intended to be a direct recommendation. Before acting on any information mentioned, you should seek the advice from a qualified tax or investment advisor to determine whether it is suitable for your specific situation. Investment advising services are offered through the Journeys Group, an SEC registered investment advisor.